Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Ross Tucker coming up in 40 minutes. Quick Hits coming up in 20 minutes. Nick and JP with you back. What normally is a Browns Misery Monday. I don't have a lot of misery from yesterday. I thought Shador was serviceable. I thought the Browns defense has really continued their backward schneid, which is okay because I think it's injury related, not maybe regression to the mean related. And overall, like the thing that I think if you have any reason to feel down about today, it's twofold. One, the Quinshon Judkins thing, cannot say it enough, hated for that kid. Happy to hear that he's likely going to be ready for camp in the preseason. That feels good. Like, that feels like where the kind of news you want.
Yeah.
But that was really the only part that was like a crushing blow yesterday. Everything else, it was like, now you're good, you're competitive. Now, the other thing is, though, JP.
Yeah, what's that?
I do, the people reacting to the many reports from Rapp, from Pelissero. Mike Garofolo had something on this. I think somebody else had something on it as well from the National. The idea that the Browns haven't made their mind up on Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. That did. You know that, like, when a report is basically no news and it incites real rage, you know how people feel about where the situation is.
Well, I think it was interesting because it was odd. It felt like a lot of people now want to group Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski back together. And, yeah. Like, the response out of that, like, had we not been talking about this for a while? Like, I thought everyone was on the same side of this, that they weren't going to be treated the same, they weren't going to be looked at the same, and Andrew Berry appeared to be safe, even if Kevin Stefanski wasn't. And the response out of this was a lot of, wait a second, aren't they both the problem here? I just say it was an interesting response.
Yeah, I also thought Chase Blackburn got fired by the Rams. He's their special teams coach.
That set off people as well.
Oh, man, did that set people off? Because they're 100% right. If you were trying to win, if you really cared about winning, and this is where is right at Kevin to me. If you really cared about winning, you would have had this situation. Even though they made a really smart decision yesterday with a Buffalo kick returner, which was, we're going to thread the needle of trying not to kick it out of bounds, but also trying to make it so that this guy can't field a kick.
Yeah.
I like that. I thought that was pretty clever.
It was.
Good job out of you, Bubba.
Yeah, you did something. You did something right. But I think with Bubba Ventrone, I think Stefanski's just trying. I think Stefanski knows if he gets fired, but he fired Bubba 4 weeks prior, it just doesn't look good for Bubba getting another job.
I think
I was just a coach looking out for our coach.
I think Kevin knows.
McVay's got to actually do things.
And Kevin knows he can go at the end of the season saying, well, I gave him every opportunity, got to fire Bubba. And you know what? Maybe we need to do X, Y, and Z as well. And that's going to be Kevin's plan to keep his job. Whereas I think Andrew Berry has been setting this all up to be like, you know, I think, yeah, I love him. I gave Kevin every opportunity to save his job. Mm-hmm. I think Andrew's going to give Kevin the treatment that Kevin's trying to give to Bubba Ventrone, keep him around long enough so he can be the fall guy for this disaster.
So in an interesting twist within all this, though, was the idea that this actually gives more fire to these Stefanski supporters out there. The people that like Stefanski, instead of turning it into highlighting all the failures of Stefanski and highlighting what a bad job Stefanski has done and the lack of wins and everything, it's turned into a, wait a second, how come the architect of all this doesn't get any of the blame, but the guy trying to put out all these fires is the one that ends up getting canned? In a weird way, it almost makes Stefanski's time here not seem as bad because he's got somebody else that he could look at and say, wait, he didn't get fired and he's been worse than I have.
So we are going to play all the many bits of sound we have over the weekend on Stefanski's future and Barry's future, but first up, And we'll do it across the rest of the show, not all in one segment. But Ian Rappaport, here's him from the weekend on Stefanski's future, Barry's involvement in decisions on the NFL Network.
If he was available, would no doubt get plenty of interviews and would be among the top candidates out there. That said, the record is what it is. 6-25 over the last 2 years. Our understanding is that no decision has been made with Kevin Stefanski. Now, Paul DePodesta, who has run football for the last decade or so, he is now going to do the same, well, not football, but baseball for the Rockies. So Andrew Berry obviously is going to be very involved in this decision on where the Cleveland Browns go from here. Again, no firm word on where, but some change would make sense given how tough a season it has been. Obviously, we will update you when we know for sure, which direction they are going.
So the continued inclusion, because even the written piece between Pelissero and Rapp was even worse. You know, if he was available, he'd be a prime candidate. I am so sick of the Stefanski glaze. I am. Like 6 wins in 3 years, or in 2 years. I really need the national media to stop, to basically be like, listen, we really like Kevin personally, but at some point we just have to call it like it is.
They're not going to do it.
Yeah.
His agent's already working. Like, that's the thing. They're already pulling strings. It's not going to happen. Like, but that's okay, because fans have, we have our own brains. We'll be able to do this the way that we need to do this.
I kind of also wonder, circling back, like, I think it was the first time we got a comment on this was like 5 weeks ago. My first take was 5 weeks ago, man, Kevin Stefanski's, you know, agent, his PR team's working overtime. There is a part of me that we, and we addressed it at the time, It's either Kevin Stefanski's team or it's the Browns trying to pitch a case why they shouldn't fire Stefanski, because he'd be so... I think I have circled back to, are the Browns behind any of this as well?
What do you mean? And like trying to make Stefanski
seem like a prime candidate elsewhere and basically play on everybody's fear of... Because there is this sentiment from fans.
How does it make him look better in the process?
There is this sentiment from fans. If Kevin goes to New York and gets the number one pick, he's going to be great elsewhere, and it'll be another thing we throw at the feet of the Cleveland Browns. I think if this was from the Browns, this would be the sentiment you're trying to play off of.
I'm not following. I'm confused as to how the Browns benefit in trying to make Stefanski look better.
Because he would be a prime candidate elsewhere, so he's still well thought of around the NFL. So basically, this speaks to anyone out there is concerned. Kevin's going to go elsewhere and be a success, and the Browns are still going to stink.
No, because I think they look just as bad, if not worse, if all of a sudden he's some sort of coveted prospect across the NFL. Like if the Giants are knocking over and like really, or even like that Titans reporter we had on that says he wants to like dance in the streets if they get Kevin Stefanski. I think if anything that just makes the Browns look bad if that's the case. But I also think it makes them look bad if he goes to a better spot like the Giants and actually succeeds. You don't want that if you're the Browns.
Do you also believe that no decision has been made yet?
So we had Mary Kay on yesterday, and Mary Kay was like, I don't know how anyone can even come to the conclusion that they've come up with any sort of decision on Stefanski because, and like if anybody would know, it'd be Mary Kay. She'd be the person that would know on this. I don't know how they haven't, though, Nick. I don't know how they haven't looked at what Stefanski has done and could think to themselves, like, what's changing in the next two games? What's changing in their mind over the next 2 weeks that would tell them that either they need to continue on, which either they've already decided that, or they need to cut ties, which they've either decided that as well.
You could win the next two games.
That won't change anything.
Maybe for them it will be. It wouldn't change it for you.
It shouldn't. If winning the next two games is all of a sudden some sort of spark plug that completely changes your mind on Stefanski, then I think you had the wrong read to begin with anyway. I mean, like, that should not be enough.
But this would be different.
A week 18 against the Bengals and then a week 17 against the Steelers?
Well, this is the time of year where coaches that have, let's say, been beaten down by the process or beaten down by losing, you wouldn't win those games. That would be like winning both of these next two games, and certainly being in it against the Bills will be another thing that's in your cap of like, you were really productive in the final 3 weeks. You were more productive than most coaches have been in this exact same scenario over the last 25 years.
Yeah, but you still won 6 games, and in this instance, then it'd be 8 games over the previous 2 years. For me, the hay's in the barn, and for the Browns, it should be as well. But again, if not, there's another scenario that exists out here where he is doing exactly what they've said, and this is their plan, and their plan the entire time was to present a winning team, or at least a perceived winning team, while in the process not winning many games at all in 2 years. There's a world that exists out there, very tiny percentage chance, but there's a world that exists out there where he's done exactly what they wanted him to do, and their decision would already have been he's moving forward next year. So, like, you see how this, if you're getting in their brain, you can take this any way you want to take it.
Now, the third thing that got a lot of traction
shouldn't indicate that.
The third thing that got a lot of traction here was that Andrew Berry's very involved in the decision,
yeah,
which telegraphed to a lot of people, no matter whether Kevin's here or not, AB won't be.
Yeah, and it seems like Andrew Berry's been trying to separate himself from Stefanski for how long now? And it feels like he...
Certainly since the trade deadline where he didn't have his press conference.
And so this kind of feels more like this is where this would come from Andrew Berry's side of things, almost to be like we want a clean break of the idea that, you know, people on the radio call us Bert and Ernie and say we're tied at the hip. And like, and they've been working really hard at this, and I don't know, he's come close to accomplishing it. I just don't think the fans are buying into that. I think at the end of this, the fans are just going to, they're going to want them both together, and it's going to be an all or nothing campaign.
And I think the response will be, we gave you your fall guy, and that's going to be Kevin.
Yeah.
You and I both say, like, if
Andrew
they fired Andrew,
got the draft to at least fall back on for himself, which I can discredit, but he's going to fall back on.
But if they fired Andrew, you and I aren't going to be like, oh no, why?
Or even if they hadn't fired him on like Wednesday of after the season, we won't be like, so what's going on with Andrew?
Yeah.
Why haven't you gotten rid of Andrew yet? Well, we will do that with Stefanski.
Yeah. Well, and I just think it's to a point where it's like, I also think there's the normalized thing we fall back on the NFL. Over here's the GM. He usually gets at least two head coaches. Head coach didn't get two GMs. The head coach, if you're lucky, you get 5 years. Kevin's got six. Bang biscuit. Move on then.
Good use of bang biscuit there.
Stop.
It's an interesting report because it doesn't really tell us anything in crazy new, but it does have us thinking in a way that feels like right with what the Browns are going to do. And that's why I think it's so interesting. That's why I think it struck a nerve with people, is because I feel like that, like them laying out the most likely option right now, that Berry keeps his job and Stefanski is fired but perceived to be all right in the coaching world and gets another job. If you made me bet what is the most likely to happen, I think most Browns fans would bet on that option as well.
If Berry stays but Stefanski goes, would you sign up for that? Quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Browns, not so miserable Monday. Maybe it's just a holiday season. We had Christmas yesterday with Vanessa's family.
I think the holiday season is clouding your... Yeah, it might be.
Is it because you knew I was drunk yesterday?
No. By the way, I guess everyone just got hammered yesterday. Not myself, but like Jake came in talking about how in the bag he was yesterday. It's like, I guess yesterday was the day.
I was really sober until about 6 o'clock.
But why do we do this, though? It's funny because
fun.
That's part of it. But like, no, the idea... So I'm about as straight edge as life gets right now, and I hate it for myself.
You're basically CM Punk.
I hate it for myself. Is CM Punk just not doing anything?
He's literally straight edge.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So like, it sucks. And so that's just my reality. And so Friday night, I'm like, all right, let's get a little wasted, right? But it's like, all right, we made the effort, we did it. Saturday, we, you know, a little slouchy because of it, but whatever. But like, I got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to have accomplished all of these things that I need. Why did I choose the weekend prior to this? Same thing with you yesterday. It's like, why? Like, we have 4 more days that we're going to have to be off and do all this. Why do we? It's like we wanted to jumpstart the holiday is what I think what was going on here.
Well, so I didn't cook for Vanessa's family yesterday because everybody had, like, they had all communicated what day it was going to be. They also put it during the Browns game, which I would have preferred it not to be. But so I didn't have anything to cook. I was in the other room.
The meal was during the game?
Yeah. Oh. It ended up timing up with halftime perfectly.
I was going to say, no wonder why you're so happy. Yeah. You just got to eat during the game. I'm just going to hang out and just eat a bunch of food.
So it started relatively innocently enough where I just haven't had 7-7s forever. 1.5 7-7s, we're good, right? But then as the day went on, it was like, I think I'm just doing this. I think we're just doing this. We're doing it slowly and responsibly. And it really wasn't until like 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, I was like, you've overserved yourself, sir.
Okay.
Like when I started taking a nap on the couch at 8 o'clock, right before Sunday Night Football, I knew that maybe, just maybe, we had gone a little too far, and that's okay. Except today, it's been a little bit of a fight. We've been fighting through it.
Good for you. That's why I have to time it up with days I have off the next day, because I am just so sluggish anytime I go over that limit.
So
incredibly sluggish.
Ross Tucker coming up in about 15 minutes, but let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear.
Hurry, hurry.
It's quick hits.
Huge weekend in sports, but let me tell you.
Yeah.
I've become a Slippers guy. I'm not going to apologize for this.
You don't have to apologize for anything.
My in-laws bought me these slippers for Christmas this year. And, you know, I've had, like, I have a...
You got a robe, too?
I got a heel. No, but you give me a big enough robe.
I assumed you were, when you said you're a slippers guy, I assumed you already were a robe guy.
Nope. I've never been a robe guy.
I wanted to be a robe guy. I actually got a robe one Christmas, and then it lasted like maybe two, 3 weeks.
I don't think you have I have the body for the robe.
I didn't have I don't have it.
Like, there's a Dionysian kind of thing. Like, yeah. I'm a big fella. I need a robe. You're right. I need to be a robe guy.
It wasn't enjoyable enough for me. I could see you sitting. Now, you're going to be a cigar guy, too, then.
Okay.
Robe, cigar guy. No one even thinks about the slippers if you got the robe and the cigar going. On your back patio, just kind of hanging out, letting the day take you away as you just sip some more seven and sevens.
Get a nice cross breeze. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Throwing the ball to Mongo to have Mongo fall down like he's drunk.
Yeah, but I'll be the drunk one. Wink, wink. I never thought I'd be this guy. And about 5 minutes wearing these suckers around the house, I'm like, I think this is what I'm going to be doing now when I'm not in my shoes.
What kind of slippers are we talking about?
Good ones.
I don't know what that means.
What do you need? Like brand or talking about?
Are they furry? Is what I'm asking.
They are furry.
Well, Josh Hoover on our hands.
This is how it starts. We got some Chewbacca feet.
This is how it starts. This is how you're under a furry convention in 3 weeks.
But the key is it's all in the heel. It's very supported in the heel. It's really comfortable.
Yeah.
And when I take Mongo out at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's 30 degrees. Oh, I walk through our sun porch. The Tootsies don't freeze.
I'm not team slipper, but I'm team comfort. So whatever makes you comfortable in life.
I think you're a good pair of slippers away from being team slippers.
After going for the robe, I can't go for anything like that for a while.
You just didn't pull it off.
I didn't use it. Honestly, I used it for 3 weeks and was just like, this isn't it.
I don't think you committed to the bit.
I didn't.
I think this one's to you, and that's okay. Life is about growth.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Just wasn't good enough for me, was all. Just wasn't good enough. DK Metcalf has punched a Lions fan. He grabbed this Lions fan, and the Lions fan has this blue wig on. He looks like a ridiculous human. And then DK pulls him down by the blue wig, and then he went to punch. He actually missed punching him. Mm. He missed like a straight dead-on contact. And watching the game was really funny because then you're watching as DK Metcalf is just... He goes from almost punching this guy to then just being on the sideline and then waiting. You can tell he's waiting for someone to come and remove him. No one does. He just plays the rest of the game as if nothing happened. What should the NFL's response to this be? Almost punching a fan.
Suspended for the rest of the season and postseason. Shouldn't play again. You cannot. Like, this is how things like it always happens in Detroit. But this is how stuff like the malice in the palace happens. You cannot have this. If it was a player, if it was a fan doing it to DK Metcalf, people would want that guy to never be able to attend a game ever again.
So the fan says all he did was use DK Metcalf's government name. He did the full, I don't even know how to say his first, his whatever D and K stands for.
Uh-huh.
He just said that, and then that was enough to set him off. DK is maintaining that this fan has harassed him in the past in years prior when he was in Seattle. Same exact fan is what he says, and so it was finally time to basically give him a piece of his mind.
Yeah, DK, shut up. maybe don't help yourself like this. Oh, I've been thinking about doing this for multiple years. That's called premeditation, buddy.
In a court of law,
this makes you even guiltier.
That you actively thought on it for a whole year if this guy does this again? I don't know.
Do you agree, by the way?
Yeah, done. You can't do this. And it has to matter that he even whiffed the same way as if he would have made great, I say great contact. That's not the right way to put that.
No, it would. Yeah, so
if he would have landed the punch.
I was going to say, he looked like Jake Paul.
I was thinking Jake Paul. Have you seen that photo? My goodness.
I've got to be honest with you. Ecstasy. I'm sorry. I know they're Cleveland's own, kind of. Nothing. I've not enjoyed watching somebody get punched out like that in years. It really... It's like I did it. That's how good it was.
Did you see the video that was going around with Kay Adams and Michael Irvin and Brandon Marshall?
Yeah.
That was the funniest part of the whole fight for me.
Actually,
she looked like she wanted to be gone.
I felt so bad for Kay. Like
that was the point.
Those guys have to understand. That's like a 100-pound woman. Like, guys, chill. Just chill.
A lot of stars out there at that event.
A lot of stars.
Omaha!
And Jake Paul was seeing all of them.
Well, he had no chance in that fight. That wasn't even, you know what I mean? He was never going to win that fight.
I do like that people went from all these things are fixed and this isn't real to, Anthony Joshua just decided it was no longer fixed. I was like, okay, you can't have both of those. It's a real thing. He really got knocked out, or he was also part of the spectacle. Dante Moore threw for 300 yards and 4 tutties. Is Oregon advanced in the playoffs over James Madison?
Mm-hmm.
Emery Hunt, a football game plan, had high praise for the youngster after the win.
He's kind of like a more athletic version of C.J. Stroud. He is the best quarterback if he comes out in the draft class, in my opinion. And I think that's a decision he's going to have to mull over. Do you come out if you're going to be a top 5 pick? I would think so. Are you comfortable with making the same amount of money you go make high in the draft going back and running it back next year with Oregon? I think if they run the table and win a national championship, we may have our answer.
Is the James Madison victory.
Hold on, you buried the lead. Emery's moved off of King.
Oh, Haynes King. Wait, was that why you took Haynes King a couple weeks ago?
It was all in jest, but yes, exactly why. What do you mean, is that wise if that's a surprise? Yeah, Emery was on and said Haynes King is the best quarterback in the class. Was that not Emery Hunt?
Oh, by the way, that was on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Sorry.
You're giving me a side look here.
No, Mac was trying to feed me the information, so I accredited the podcast. And so I was trying to figure out what he was saying while having a conversation with you.
Oh, yeah. Radio guys, we're not TV guys. If you talk in our ear, it throws us way off. Yeah.
No. He was doing this. He was doing...
Oh, he didn't even talk in your ear. He's just saying, hey, just give this where it needs to go.
No, guys. It was me. It's a me.
You looked at me like I had a banana taped to my forehead there.
I'm like, hungover Nick.
I'm like, yeah, Emery Hunt. He was the guy that said Haynes King is the best quarterback in this class. And now a few weeks later, all of a sudden it's Dante Moore. So, okay, fine.
I think it's wild.
I both of them, the quarterback Deadpool.
I think the overlap in people who said James Madison shouldn't be in the playoffs and who are now saying Dante Moore is the best quarterback in this draft class is alarming. The amount of people who thought James Madison should be in the Peach Hawaiian Bowl are now being like, you see what he did in the playoffs? It's like, guys, he did it against James Madison.
No, you're right. It doesn't. It's in my opinion, it doesn't count. James Madison doesn't count.
Omaha!
It was a banner weekend for people that were celebrating, for the brand snobs like myself.
Yeah.
It was a big weekend for us. We really, really got to celebrate that idea. All right, Ravens lose. And more importantly than our AFC North burger bet, in a game that Lamar Jackson had to leave, in a game that they were up by double digits with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Drake May legitimately might be a star.
Yeah.
And the question off this is, he moving toward an unlimited ceiling, though? That's how PFT phrased it. Unlimited ceiling for Drake May. Watching some of the passes, watching the idea that, first off, basically all they did was return a lot of the same receivers from last year and then added Stephon Diggs while dealing with a backup left tackle, backup right tackle. Like Drake May was absolutely dealing last night while overcoming a lot.
I kind of feel like Josh Allen versus Drake May is like a spy versus spy, except I think Drake is more accurate.
Well, so Josh Allen's better with his legs by a lot, but I.
But they're both just gunslingers, and it's fun to watch. Like I kind of hope we get New England versus Buffalo in the first round because I think that would be tremendous fun for a first round matchup.
Oh, it'd be great fun. I don't know that Drake May is gonna pull off everything this year, but the throws that he made was. It was just dime after dime after dime. Like, and talk about putting the whole team on his shoulder. That was it. That's all you needed to see.
If you had to guess, one of the young quarterbacks looking to ascend in the playoffs this year, one guy, you put all your stocks on one guy to become a top 5 quarterback by the end of the playoff run, You putting it all on Drake?
It's got to be Drake, because what are my other quarterbacks in this option is
Justin
Bo Nix, which is not going to happen.
Herbert, CJ Stroud.
Until Herbert plays good in a postseason game, I can't bet on Herbert. He had twice as many interceptions in the postseason game he played in last year than he did the whole regular season last year.
CJ Stroud?
No, I'm not in. I'm still selling my CJ Stroud stock.
Caleb?
I love Caleb.
He had that throw he made yesterday was stupid.
I mean, I love
the
Caleb.
The one to DJ Moore, that was a, oh my God, I can't believe you made that throw.
What was cool about that, though, was that was just as much of DJ Moore doing the work than it was anything. It was a great throw, but DJ Moore was getting assaulted on that play.
Jordan Love?
Like he legitimately was blinded as he caught it. I'm not buying any more on Jordan Love. I like Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love is what Jordan Love is right now.
You don't love Jordan Love?
I don't love
you
Jordan.
You just like Jordan Love.
I'm falling in like with Jordan
You're
Love.
You're friend zoning Jordan Love.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Like, if he was the quarterback that hit up my phone late at night, I'm saying, I'm sorry, I got better options here.
We should do.
I can do better.
A hackneyed radio bit called Friend Zone or End Zone.
Hey,
the
Kay
bad
Adams,
thing is, you
Kay
both.
Adams is going to steal this.
You and I both like this.
Did you just become a producer for Kay Adams' show?
Not,
I don't know.
Not since Sarah Spain took Radio Tinder have I been so mad at anyone on this planet. Roz Tucker joins us to talk Shadors, 5-star. And more in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. And it is Christmas week here, so we have shuffled the lineup this week. Usually, our guy joins us at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays today. He's hopping up to the 3:40 spot on a Monday to talk the latest with the Browns, the latest around the NFL. On the line is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Ross joining us now on the Fan Hotline. Ross, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys. I just got done my workout in a hotel room here in Indianapolis, because I'm doing Niners Colts tonight for radio with Kevin Harlan. And there's like five people that were in the hotel gym, one of whom was Christian McCaffrey on the Peloton bike.
That's crazy.
I bet he was great at it. Like, was he great at it?
Like, what an animal. Like, an absolute animal. He's on pace for 418 touches, which nobody's gone over 400 since he did it in 2019. And I just was looking at him. I went up to him. I'm like, yo, man, what you're doing this year is unbelievable. Because I didn't say this to him, but the crazy thing is he's definitely, like, lost half a step. You know, you guys played him a few weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's definitely not as explosive, you know, as he was a few years ago before these injuries. But I don't know, man. As a former player, that almost makes what he's doing this year more impressive. I mean, he's got over 1,700 yards. He's going to hit 1,000 probably rushing and receiving, and he's not what he used to be. I mean, that to me is insane that you can even stay in the NFL when you kind of lost a step or whatever, let alone carry the load like he has been. It's crazy. Anyway, I don't think I've ever seen that before. I just thought that was like a wild story.
We appreciate it. I do want to ask, because we were just talking about Drake May's come from behind win last night, and this seems to be with Mahomes out, potentially Lamar Jackson out. We know Joe Burrow's not going to be in the playoffs. This seems to be a great year for someone to level up. So of all the young quarterbacks, we're talking Drake May, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, of all the young quarterbacks that could level up to being a top five quarterback with a deep postseason run, who are you most confident can actually make that leap this year?
That's interesting to me that you put Herbert, like, as a young guy. You meant more just, you know, establish themselves as a top five guy when he hasn't before.
Yeah.
I think Drake May. Yeah, I think it's Drake May, because there's a really good chance they're going to have two home playoff games. They might have the number one seed. I think he's been the most impressive guy out of the ones you named. And he's a lot younger. You know, that doesn't mean Jordan Love can't do it or Herbert can't do it, but they've had a lot of chances. I mean, this is actually May's, like, first chance, and he's kind of doing it. I did a couple Patriots games last year for TV, and they had the worst O-line in the league, and they had the worst receiving corps. And he still impressed me every time I watched the Patriots play or called those games, which I think is probably – what you're looking for. You think about all these teams, including the Browns, with young quarterbacks, I think you recognize the Browns' offensive line has not played well. Their receiving core is not good. But are you still impressed? Are you still impressed by what the young quarterback is doing? And I know everybody in Cleveland has their opinions, but I was impressed with what Drake May did last year, given the circumstances. So I'm not, you know, overly shocked that he's been this good this year. And I think that there's a real, I mean, look, he's going to be at worst top three in the MVP voting, which would lead people to discuss him as being a top five quarterback already, almost no matter what he does in the postseason.
Yeah, he's great. And obviously, you know, last night you saw him doing it without all the weapons at his disposal and down a backup left tackle, backup right tackle, all these other things. But, like, there was the idea that the Patriots and Elliott Wolf spent, what, $280 million in the offseason? Like, they did spend a lot of money. And so, like, that is part of that narrative. If people are expecting, let's say it is Shador to go from this season to then next season and have some sort of, maybe not Drake May explosion, but, you know, really, really make some strides, it would come with the idea that you'd have to spend money now too. Do you feel like the Browns are in a spot where they would spend that type of money, or would you wait until you get a different quarterback in there, maybe when you draft, before then you spend the money?
Really good question. Really good question. And I guess
tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My answer to that would be you got to get better at a number of spots on offense as soon as possible. You know, so whether you think that that's for Shador and next year, or you think it's a quarterback in 2027, there's no reason to wait. I mean, the time is now to try to get better. Because it's not, Jonathan, I would say it's not just spend the money. You know, the Patriots did spend a decent amount of money because they had by far the most, you know, money to spend. But look what they did in the draft. I mean, they got a new left tackle in the draft. He's played pretty darn well. They got a new left guard in the draft. He's done a nice job. The center and right tackle are both guys that they went out and got, veterans. You know, at receiver, they paid something for Stephon Diggs, but they didn't have to, like, pay a crazy amount for Diggs. They drafted Travion Henderson. You know, they got Mac Hollins, who people weren't, like, knocking the door down for. So I think it's a mix like anything else. You know, while they did spend a good amount of money, it's not like they went out and were getting necessarily, especially on the offensive side of the ball, these, like, crazy high-priced guys. I mean, they did that more on defense with, like, a Milton Williams, made him the highest-paid player in franchise history from Philadelphia. On offense, it was kind of more mixing and matching with the draft and with bringing in veterans, and it just works out really well when the quarterback turns out to be that good. I will say, I think Josh McDaniels, Northeast Ohio's own, has been very, very helpful for Drake May as well.
Ross, I thought Shador was serviceable yesterday. We can haggle over what word anyone would use, but over the final two games and certainly this game, is serviceable enough from Shador if you're the Browns?
Let me ask you this, both of you guys. Scale 1 to 10. 10, he played amazing.
One, he played terrible. What would you say yesterday for Shador?
I think I said 5 or 6. I think I called it a C-plus, B-minus game.
And I was thinking like a 6, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if you guys were on the same page or if Jonathan was just drinking more of the Shador Kool-Aid. That was what I wanted to establish first.
No, same
I
spot.
I wanted to know.
Yeah.
What about overall? What about all of his starts? Like, what number would you give him for the whole body of work so far?
Probably somewhere between a 5 or 6.
Yeah, I would think not to do it because it's a thing I don't like to do, but 6, 7, somewhere around there.
6, 7.
You know, it's funny. In my head, well, first of all, two things. One is, you know, we don't talk enough in life in general, but in particular in the NFL, about NBA, which is next best alternative. You know, we want to just say, should it be Shador? Should it be somebody else? Who is the somebody else? You know, what is the somebody else? I think that's a really, really important part of this, because I would say right now, I think I'd rather have Shador next year than drafting a rookie that's not named Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore. I'd probably rather go with Shador. Now, if I can get one of those two guys, that might be a little bit different in terms of the draft. I think there's something to be said for seeing what Shador could do with a full offseason, seeing what Shador could do with better people around him, and kind of backfilling that position with someone that's serviceable should Shador struggle and not be the guy. It's funny because my initial reaction would have been, I think you got to hit 7 to say, let's definitely go with Shador next year, if that makes sense. Like, I think you guys and everybody listening need to say on a scale 1 to 10, I feel like Shador, I feel about a 7 about Shador right now. If everybody in Cleveland's hitting a 7, then I think you almost definitely give him next year. If you guys are 5 or 6, that's a little different.
Well, all right, maybe this applies to the next question then, because the NBA thing, the next best available, do you think that applies for Kevin Stefanski then as well, or is that a different conversation?
A little bit of a different conversation, because I do think that sometimes with coaches, it's just time. And sometimes with coaches, the message gets stale. I'm not saying either one of those are the case with Kevin, by the way. I'm just saying I don't necessarily put players and coaches in the same category. But I do think if you're going to move on from Stefanski, I would want to have a pretty good idea of who the three guys are that you really, really want, that you think are better than Stefanski, and through the pipeline, talking to their agents, feel very confident you can get them. Because I see this happen so often. Now, Penn State, you know, might have gotten super fortunate to be able to get Matt Campbell late when they did. And he's a terrific coach, and it'll probably work out well for them. But it's pretty clear he wasn't even top 5, maybe even top 10 on their list, and that they were fortunate. What you don't want to do is get rid of a coach like Stefanski, and then, you know, you're striking out, and you get a guy 7th or 8th. Because that, to me, that's due diligence. You know, I know they don't want stuff to get out and blah, blah, blah. They should have, if you're Andrew Berry, if you're Jimmy Haslam, you should have a list of guys you'd really be interested in as your next head coach if you made a move. And then there are ways through back channels you can kind of get an idea, hey, would he be interested in coming here? The problem is there's a lot involved in that. So let's say you're one of those coaches. What's the first question you're asking? Well, first of all, is Andrew still the GM? Because that's part of it. Positive or negative. Some of them, I think, would love that. Maybe others wouldn't. And then you have to say, well, who's quarterback? And that conversation goes both ways. You know, do the Browns want to hear the head coach candidate say, I think Shador's the guy and I can make him play really well? Or do they want the guy to come in and say, look, he is not the guy. I'm not taking this job unless, you know, we all agree we're getting somebody else. I mean, that's the problem, is that there's some serious conversations to be had, because a guy like Ben Johnson, a guy like Vrabel, okay, who are going to have options like both of those guys did, they have the power. They have the leverage. Vrabel knew he wanted to go to somewhere where they had a quarterback like Drake May and a ton of cap space. You know, Ben Johnson believed in Caleb Williams, knew they had that guy locked up, and knew that the Bears were going to commit to spending a bunch of money on the offensive line. I mean, there's just a lot. There's a lot that goes into it. And if you want to get one of the best candidates, you have to be willing to bend to what he wants more so than just what you want. Otherwise, I mean, you're going to have to accept whoever you get.
Ross, great stuff, buddy. Merry Christmas. Thanks for all you've done this football season, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Ross.
Likewise. My pleasure, guys. Later, dude.
Later, dudes. That Christian McCaffrey stuff is wild.
That he does a Peloton like the day of?
Just chill out, man. All right, save some cardio for the rest of us. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.